It's time for Buckeye Breakdown, a look back at the weekend's action with everyone's favorite national title-winning ginger, Craig Krenzel.
Every Monday, we talk to our guy. It's time for Buckeye Breakdown on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline with Craig Krenzel. Hello, Cowboy.
What is going on, Michael?
So, Bone and I are of the opinion that that game was close on Saturday because the Buckeyes made it close. They beat themselves. Do you agree?
I don't think there's any question. I think anybody that watched that football game, I was actually at the game, and my brother was not able to watch the game. He was kind of out and about running some errands with his family and whatnot, but he called me. So I talked to him at halftime, and he just asked me, like, hey, what's the update? You know, what's the score? And I told him it was the most lopsided, dominant 14-0 performance that I think I've ever seen in the history of college football. That was a game that, to me, we put the ball on the carpet too many times. And without that, it's the 28-35 point game that I thought it would be going into that game.
Yeah, speaking of that, I mean, the offense spotted the defense into a lot of bad positions, and yet, like you said, 17 points, under 250 yards of total offense given up by this Buckeye defense. We talk all the time about Chase Young, but I'll focus on this guy because he had a tremendous game. Pete Warner, how glad were you to see him have the game he had on Saturday?
Oh, no question. You know, when you look at Pete Warner, he's just a tough-nosed kid. He's got a tremendous eye for the football. You know, I think he had, 10 or 11 tackles. You just love watching guys like that play. Obviously, Chase Young dominates the stat line all season and pretty much did again on Saturday. But, you know, you look at this defense, and we've talked about it a couple times this year, and their ability to make the plays, to be in position, a simplified game plan. I think our linebackers have benefited maybe the most. Our secondary has obviously benefited a lot from that as well. But our guys up front are playing tough football. They're doing their job, and they're allowing our guys in the secondary, our guys, our linebackers. They're allowing these guys, our safeties, to come up. And when you look at this game on Saturday, that was a direct result of that. You saw Pete Warner, have a phenomenal game for the Bucs.
Buckeye Breakdown with Craig Krenzel here on The Fan. We were in that first segment musing about the greatness of Chase Young, and I said if there's a Mount Rushmore of Buckeye defensive greats, he's on it, and that's a long list that you can choose from. Where does he rank for you when it comes to the most impactful defenseman you've ever seen?
Oh, man, that's so hard to answer questions like that. Obviously, when you're trying to compare generations, but he's definitely in the top five. He is without a question one of the best Buckeye defenders that I've ever seen. And I'm trying to think of just in the last 25, 35 years of guys that either I played with, have seen play, or have seen old film on and know. I mean, obviously you got guys like Spiels, who was a stud, but then you go into the 90s and you look at those defensive lines with Vrabel and Matt Finkus and Luke Fickell, who was just a tough-nosed SOB, and then guys that I played with. I mean, Will Smith, the late Will Smith, was an absolute stud. Tim Anderson, on the interior of the three technique was as tough as it gets. But, I mean, Chase Young combines the ability to run you over for 260, 270 pounds. He is freakishly strong, and he is obviously freakishly athletic and long and quick, and his get-off is amazing. It's why he's probably going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. If not, definitely a top three pick because he is that good, and he's top five defenders that I can think of in Ohio State history.
You know, we looked at the Buckeye receivers, too. They didn't have the biggest statistical day in the world, but made some big plays when it counted, had a couple drops, but for the most part, again, these guys showed up and made plays when they had to. On a, cold day, a wet day, they were able to catch the football. How much confidence do you think that gives a guy like Justin Fields sitting back there knowing, all right, yeah, the offense isn't clicking fully passing the ball, but guys are making plays for me when I need them to.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that I found a little bizarre about the game on Saturday was just the overall game plan. I mean, we're talking about a Penn State team whose secondary was not very good, and teams have been able to move the ball through the air. I mean, Justin Fields was efficient, smart with the football, a couple of touchdowns, no picks. But I really thought we would come into the game, and for the most part, the weather, I mean, obviously the weather wasn't great, but I don't think it was bad enough that we couldn't move the ball through the air and take advantage of those matchups. But I actually thought that we would come out with a game plan, where we would look to take advantage of that maligned secondary for the Nittany Lions. And the fact that Justin Fields had, nearly as many rushing attempts as he did passing attempts really surprised me. I thought after that first series, I wasn't surprised that Ryan Day, that they came out and, it looked like they really wanted to, at least I thought after the first series, that, hey, we came out and we just wanted to show that we can impose our will. We know your pass defense is your weakness, but we also want to show you on the first drive that we're going to be able to run the ball 91 yards downfield and just show you that we're physically going to be able to do whatever we want. I thought after that we would see a more balanced attack. I didn't think we'd have 60-plus carries combined between J.K., Justin, and Master Teague. Obviously, he didn't touch the ball very much. It was mostly J.K. and Justin. But I was surprised that we didn't look to throw the ball more through the air. But I think that's the thing about this team is they are so dangerous. They're able to beat you a lot of different ways. And obviously, when you look, dominated the time of possession, dominated the number of plays, physically dominated this football game, except for one thing that can be a cause for concern against some of these better teams that we're hopefully going to see throughout the rest of this year and into the playoff, is you can't turn the ball over, period. You put yourself behind 3-1 in the turnover margin. It doesn't matter how much better you are, you start making things a game.
Buckeye Breakdown with Craig Krenzel here on The Fan. Last thing, it's Michigan week. You obviously know what this is about. As a player, what did this mean to you, being from Michigan, playing in this game? And obviously you're not there with Ryan Day, you weren't there with Urban, but talk about the differences in the coaching staff and the differences in Tressel when this game would come up every single year.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing was Tress. I'll never forget our first Michigan game with Tress. But obviously, I think to this day that John Cooper, who recruited me, sometimes because of his struggles against the Wolverines, I think Coach Coop sometimes gets I think some of us, some fans rather, can forget just how awesome he was for this program and what he did, especially from a recruiting standpoint, to kind of be that first guy to really go across the country and start pulling in the David Bostons of the world, of the country, to come to Ohio State. But the biggest difference that I noticed is Coach Tress that first Michigan game. And we showed up on that Sunday, and the locker room was decorated from letters from all these different schools and kids and teachers that are writing to the Buckeyes. To this day, I'm not sure who initiated that. If it was someone within our program, was that something that happened often? But there was definitely a different focus. There was definitely a different feel in the air, just in terms of, for me in the past, and I'm kind of this way to begin with, it's like, it's Michigan week. It's one of, if not the greatest rivalries in all sports, but from a preparation standpoint, from a football standpoint, it's really no different. And that was kind of always my mentality. So to see Coach Tress, kind of flip the table on it and really put this emphasis on it, really, truthfully, starting before Michigan week. I mean, I remember in our first training camp, we would have maize and blue period during training camp, where every practice out of nowhere, there would just be something, Michigan oriented, just trying to resurface how important that game is and how big that game is. And, you couple that focus with, in my opinion, just a complete depletion in talent up in Ann Arbor over the last decade and a half, and you get the dominance that we've had. And obviously, right now, sitting here on Monday, November 25th, there's no Michigan game bigger than the one we got this coming Saturday. We're already going to the Big Ten Championship. But obviously, a trip up in Ann Arbor, if you trip up there this weekend, it drastically changes the college football playoff landscape, which – I really, really, really want to see this team play Clemson, LSU, Alabama, Georgia, whoever the heck it ends up being. I really want a shot at those guys this year. So I'm just hoping our guys come out and continue to execute the way they have all year.
Cowboy, have a great holiday with the family this week. Hopefully we'll talk to you on Monday and be talking about another Buckeye victory.
Sounds great. You guys have a great Thanksgiving.